hits. Now, the other day, Sunday, a big rock show rolled through here. It was The Wall, as done by Roger Waters, the guy who wrote it, conceptualized it,
funded it,
did everything to it. Roger Waters, of course, a member of Pink Floyd back in the day, who does not perform with them much at all anymore. They go out and do their thing whenever they do it these days. There are only two of them left, not counting him. One's dead. But they've been pretty dormant for years, and who knows if that will ever change. In the meantime, he's out doing The Wall and rolled through the American Airlines Center the other night. We were all there. And...
not me.
I was sort of taken aback by the fact that as I was listening to all this, I realized that at no time in my past had I ever listened to that album in its entirety.
That amazes me. Yeah. But I understand, just because you've never been a Pink Floyd guy.
No, I never have been a Pink Floyd guy. And I don't know. I, for whatever reason, just always shunned them. Despite the fact that when The Wall came out, I just started at the Zoo. I was falling way under the influence of all those guys that I idolized.
Right.
And they were way into The Wall.
They were?
Oh,
and you still never got into it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it just... the whole Pink Floyd thing just seemed like really spacey, and I don't know, it just didn't do it for me.
Super gay.
But this...
well, did you crash course for this? Did you listen to The Wall a bunch before the show?
No, I did not.
So this, seeing this live in 2010 was the first time you've listened to The Wall in its entirety?
Yes. My first exposure to it was the other night.
Well, that's pretty neat.
And I'd never seen the movie or anything, although I will now.
It's worth it. A little overrated, but, you know, whatever.
But as far as a live on-the-road showing extravaganza... wow.
Pretty impressive stuff, for sure.
Yes, it was pretty impressive stuff, for sure. A lot of moving parts go into this thing, and I was just trying to imagine, while I was watching it, just what this is like from a purely logistical standpoint.
A nightmare. But they got it down to such a science, though. So much so that I've never seen a show like this before in my life. I don't think any of us have.
No,
I mean, it was
that amount of production.
So much more than five guys getting up there with a bass and guitar and piano and just something I'm used to. I mean, this is a full-on show. It's bigger than anything Vegas has. It's bigger than any Broadway production. Not so much by the number of people that are involved, but just like you said, the moving parts. Yeah, the enormity of it. The technology involved. It was stunning. I just sat there for 3 hours or whatever, however long it was, 2.5 hours, just going, I can't believe that they're pulling this off. And how cruddy must this have been back in 1980 when they tried to pull it off with no technology whatsoever?
Yeah.
Except for a couple of flying pigs floating around, you know?
Well, weren't you saying the other day that tour got all aborted and everything?
Oh, yeah, well, they only did like four, five, six shows. You know, a couple in Europe, a couple over here, and then they were losing money hand over fist and said, we can't do this anymore. But this place was, the American Airlines Center was sold out. Every seat, you know, except for the ones behind the stage, which they didn't sell. But I couldn't believe it was sold out. I didn't know that many people were into just Roger Waters. Maybe it's their
It was to see the show.
I think they were into The Wall.
Yeah, that's it. Well, they didn't disappoint. I mean, there were moments up there where I thought I'm seeing a 67-year-old try to pull off The Wall, but the majority of the time I was just in awe.
Yes.
And like this part right here, the helicopter sound.
Incredible.
You ever been to a concert with that type of sound?
No.
You felt like a helicopter was about to land on your head.
Yes.
Where do they... why was it so much better than any other concert I've ever been to?
Well, number one, I know you noticed this, but you could tell it was multi-channeled.
Oh, yeah.
That you had sound coming from the stage, and then you had other PA speakers that were in the rear of the arena, and right above us, that were what you were getting. It was like hearing what's the system in the movie theaters, the THX.
Yeah.
It was like in THX. Yeah.
It was like surround sound.
It was total surround.
Just really killer surround sound.
And you could hear the movement of the sound from going back to forward. It was incredible.
Did you find yourself just kind of looking around?
Yes.
Where's the sound coming from?
And that was the thing that really struck me about the whole show, and the thing that I'll really take away from it is just how great the whole thing sounded.
Yeah.
Because all the guitar stuff, I mean, it was essentially a wall cover band up there.
Yeah.
But they were really, really getting it right. I mean, all the guitar tones, the parts and everything.
Perfect.
You know, I guess it would have been neat to see David Gilmour walk out and play that solo on Comfortably Numb. But, yeah. I mean, if you didn't know anything about him, would you have missed him?
No, not really. The tones were perfect.
Yes, it was.
I miss David Gilmour's voice because it's a big part of the record.
Indeed.
And the fill-in guy, you know, he was admirable. I wasn't expecting much. You know, I mean,
I was expecting the guy to sound exactly like David Gilmour, and this guy did not.
No, he didn't.
But he did a good job.
He was close enough, and it wasn't like he ruined the show or anything.
No,
I mean,
he didn't
even bother me, really. All I could think, though, was like for the first 10 minutes of the show was, because we had, I sat with the master of seating arrangements, Dan Fine.
Yes, the chairman of the board.
And we were about 10 rows from the stage, and all I could think of was how much that seat would have been worth if Pink Floyd would have been there. And I wasn't just looking down at Roger
Probably
Waters.
Probably about $2,500.
And I would have heard David Gilmour. You know, I couldn't. It pissed me off, you know, to think that they're not doing anything and they're probably not going to do anything and I'll never see them. But how about the stage prop? How about the headmaster when they rolled that big puppet out there?
Yeah, they had a couple of pretty awesome puppets.
Okay, I'm
now,
not...
Did you crap your pants when the plane flew through, or were you expecting that?
No,
I was not expecting that. I don't know that I crapped my pants, but...
Well, I know. I'm talking about him being as close as he was. Did you just look up? It's like, holy crap, there's a plane.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, people start
pointing. Because I saw it. We were at the back of the arena, so I saw it all the way.
Yeah, see,
you know?
I didn't. It was just boom. It was right there.
Mm-hmm.
But that big doll, the big puppet, the first one they rolled out, you know?
Yes.
On the right side of the stage?
Right.
I've never seen a stage prop like that. I will hand it to them. Now, it's not like I go to a bunch of shows where they have stage props, mm-hmm. but... Is that not the best? Is that not the greatest stage prop you've ever seen? We're talking about...
A 50, 60, 70-foot tall puppet.
Yeah, that was moving. I mean, they had puppeteers up there making it move, and it was like this big blow-up thing. And
yes, it was the headmaster.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had the mom, you know, on the other side
when
they did Mother, mm-hmm. and the same giant blow-up thing. I mean, look, it was built...
It was built to impress.
Yes.
And impress it did.
God, man. I'm telling you, if they would have got up there, if Roger Waters would have got up there with whoever was in his band, G.E. Smith and the rest of them. By the way, at first sight, I'm like, man, G.E. Smith looks just like G.E. Smith. No. It's really... He looks like a 70-year-old G.E. Smith. It was really funny.
Yeah.
As the night went on, I got to look at him a little bit closer. But if they would have just got up there with their instruments and played The Wall, and that's it.
Just the music?
Just the music. I think I would have been like,
Well, like I've mentioned to you guys before, it's all the interludes that go on in between the tunes, because we all know the hits. This record, the singles have been played for 30 years on radio. But all the stuff that leads, that connects it all, that's pretty unlistenable. It's pretty boring.
Yeah.
So you need the visuals. You need a storyline. You need something to kind of guide you through it.
You need the whole thing, because you don't like the stuff that goes on in between the hits.
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying that he wouldn't have much cared to see a band just get up there and play the hits.
I need that. I need the production.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right. That's the thing about it. This thing hangs together, but... If you try to break it up and break it down into, you know, the stuff in between or just the hits, no. It's no good then. None of it.
We read a review from a guy who said he wasn't expecting much, and who I don't know what paper it was from, but he was talking about how, you know, he's a fan, but probably just like you, had heard the hits, and that's about it. Wasn't that familiar with it, and he left saying it was a top five concert.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in that boat, too.
It was most impressive.
I mean, the thing is, it wasn't a concert, though. It was a show.
I don't even count it as a concert.
No.
I really don't.
It's more of a show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of in a class by itself.
And
it's more comparable to something you would see on Broadway.
Or Vegas.
Yes.
And seeing the wall being built.
Just little by little?
Yeah, it was, you know, I kind of expected it. I mean, I knew it was going to come, but it was really neat to see them do it and leave a couple of spaces open, you know, till the very end. And mm-hmm. It was all so well done. And like we were saying in our meeting, the images on the wall were just...
intricate.
Beyond anything that I could comprehend.
Did you enjoy... I mean, did you not agree with there was a lot of Politico influence in that too?
Well, that's
a lot of Politico injection. Not so much about the fictional story of the wall and Pink,
mm-hmm.
but a lot of the stuff that's going on now.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I mean, it was very, very anti-Bush, anti-war.
Of course, big time anti-war. But you know, his dad, the crux behind all this was it was Roger Waters when he was two. Mm-hmm. His dad goes and fights in World War II and he dies.
Mm-hmm.
So he grew up fatherless, and that's why Mother, we're listening to this right now. You know, talking about your mom and you know, the going to school and growing up without a dad. That permeates the whole record.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's all about, basically. And you know, that's the reason the guy wrote it whenever he was in his 30s.
Well, I loved all the World War II Euro imagery.
Yeah, but
he is.
I'm not sure that. I mean, probably growing up in the 60s and 70s, he was going to be anti-war no matter what, and playing in a rock band. But the fact that his dad got killed, he is over the top against it. So understandable.
Yeah.
But I didn't come away thinking it was a big political show either.
No, it didn't. It didn't get to the point, because when there's so much interjection of an agenda. Politics, whether it's right, left, no matter what I believe, it annoys me.
Yeah, I
like
agree.
Even like in the Josh Hamilton press conference, the agenda of God, even though I consider myself a believer, it makes me uncomfortable after a certain time. After a certain where it's like, really?
It gets old.
Going, it does get old, and it's awkward, and, you know, but I never felt that way with the wall, like that he was going overboard with it.
Right.
But it was definitely there, no question.
He was into it, too.
Yeah?
He was really, really into it. And
didn't sound like a 67-year-old man singing.
No, he still had his pipes.
Now, I think he did have to probably transpose some of the songs to a lower key mm-hmm. to accommodate, but who cares?
Or maybe tune down a little.
Well, yeah, I think he even said that in Mother, that when he was introducing the song, he was like, this is supposed to be a song that's double-tracked and blah, 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 and he's like, I'm going to play it, but I'm going to play it a step down or something like that. I can't remember exactly what he said.
No, but, is that when he sang with himself? From the footage from 1979?
No, that was...
That was this, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't Mother.
No. What was it?
Mother.
Something else.
Don't Leave Me Now.
That one? Ooh.
I can't remember what it was. But that was really cool, where they showed him from 1978.
Yeah.
Singing
with himself now.
And I thought that was a really classy touch, because a lot of times you go to these shows, like people younger or our age or whatever, that you only know these guys as being 65 years old. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
There's really no... And it's not like it's the Beatles where you see so much footage of them. Pink Floyd doesn't have... You kind of got to hunt for it a little bit.
Yeah.
And just seeing him as a 35-year-old just...
It's not a very visually publicized band.
No, not at all. It was really neat to see that, though. I was blown away the whole time, and I've never been, you know, you'll never see a show that's that visually and audibly haunting, and that you
smoke pot,
that you seem, you know, kind of in tune with.
Right.
So P1's in foreign ports, if Roger Waters and the Wall are coming your way, go.
It's not to be missed.
Yes.
It's crazy, man.
No matter what you may think of it, no matter what you may think of anything he's ever done, or what you think of that album or anything, by all means, go. You will not regret it.
And I would go back, like, if there would have been two shows, and I would have just gone to that first one, mm-hmm. I would have tried to find a way to go back again.
Maybe catch it sober?
Yeah. Yeah, there's about half of it I forgot, so that's really
smoke
the main
pot.
Reason. No, I would
have to do is just watch what you eat beforehand.
That's a good point, Corby.
I would have gone back, and I would have paid whatever to see it again, even though I'm really against... Because I guarantee you, the same jokes are issued everywhere he goes,
mm-hmm.
the same little one-liners mm-hmm. in between songs. He does the exact same thing. But it was so good and so one-of-a-kind that I would go back. That may be a show that I'd go see like three times on a tour.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome. And if they are coming your way, go. All right, community quick hits are coming up next.
Corby?
Uh-oh. Yes.
Go ahead.
Corby, go ahead.
What have you got? Looks like that Dallas may be mm-hmm. moving.
Dallas?
Okay.
I'm really hungry. Do you have any cookies?
KTCK Dallas-Fort Worth, KTDK Sanger, KKLF Richardson, KPLX HD2 Fort Worth, a Cumulus station. Jason Garrett is 2-0 as Cowboys head coach. Kitna leads the Cowboys to a win versus his old team.
McCann has made two humongous plays for this football
team. Brian McCann.